And I'd like to get back to the financials, which we had inserted earlier under number four, and ask Summer to go over the financials with us.
Great.
And that's this document.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. So you've got two pages of financial summary in front of you, one for resources, one for expenditures. And then I've also included, it may not be attached, but in your packet you'll find a chart for City of Lapine, the TRT and motel taxes that were earned during the last fiscal year.
This is this document?
Yes. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. So on the resources side of life, this is a financial summary for your fiscal year ended June 30, 2014. So these are preliminary numbers. We're still going through and doing a few adjustments or journal entries to tie up the rest of the fiscal year and get everything scrubbed down and ready for the audit. So there probably will be a few more adjustments for headstone deposits, for example, and some other things. And we'll get your revised set of financials when that's ready. So as it sits today, this is how things are looking. The resource side of life, total citywide actuals have come in at just under 6.4 million. That includes beginning balances from the previous year of about 4.4 million. You had budgeted about 6.2, so definitely ahead of what you had budgeted, about 103% above what you had budgeted for the fiscal year. And I have a breakout for council there by the categories. Do you guys have any questions about the specific categories of budget to actual?
Is there an increase in property taxes that that accounts for that over budget income?
As you know, the property taxes are based off your property value, and it gets very complicated as far as assessed value and market value and how that's fluctuating, but it is a combination of primarily what was assessed by the county in the previous year and then some trickling in from previous tax levies. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes, in part, and the rest of it is just other areas that have increased.
The property tax line is just your property tax revenue,
right.
So that is solely what has been handed over to the county.
I guess my question was there's an increase of what, a couple hundred thousand there?
Well, not property taxes.
No, not in property taxes. And
overall. So yes, it is spread across the board. So there's some charges for services. Your water and sewer funds came in above what was budgeted. Was a significant chunk of it. Motel taxes actually came in quite a bit over what was budgeted by about $40,000. That was certainly a help. It was pretty well spread across the board.
Okay.
And you also had some SDCs come in that weren't necessarily expected in the budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. On the back of the resources summary is a breakout for you to take a look at. It's by fund and then by category. And again, I know you're seeing this for the first time just tonight, so please do take this information with you. Take a look at it. If you have questions, let me know. So related to the revenue side is that chart of the motel taxes that were earned in the course of the year. And this chart just shows the seasonality and the total dollar amounts that are coming in by month. So you can see in July and August toward the beginning of the fiscal year, and then May and June toward the end of the fiscal year, your motel taxes are significantly higher than during the winter, which is as you'd expect. So this is kind of just a quick and dirty check to make sure that our tracking is accurate. This might be good information to provide the chamber too.
I just sent you
helpful.
Forward this to Anne just so that, I mean, just show we know this, June, July, and August.
Right.
July is our busiest month, but it's only very close to August and July were close. December is your worst. But, you know, it just kind of gives you an idea. It's exactly how you expect it to track.
Mm-hmm.
But what a chamber or a visitor center would start to do is if they see these numbers going up in the edges, and they'll say, maybe we'll mark, maybe you target winter marketing. You say, we want people to snowmobile, start to come in here in the winter to get that bottom up. So we target December and January. Or they're trying to get September up. That's all, you know, that's up to them who do all of that. But this is actually a good chart to show you month by month, because that correlates to the number of visitors.
So these types of analyses, these kind of sidebar pieces of information, feel free to request that at any time, especially if you're looking at the financials and something's not making sense, or if you're looking to make a significant decision, and some kind of trending information would help, something on the financial side. Reach out to your finance manager and see if there's something they can put together for you. That would be helpful. Definitely use them as a resource. On the expenditure side, so again, this is for the entire fiscal year, June 30. We have the same comparison of budget to actuals. All categories were within budget, with the exception of capital outlay in the water fund, which was the Glenwood Acres project. When we went through and did projections in May, we started looking at what all of our line items in the budget and actuals might be. And that's one where we missed. We had thought that $45,000 in that line would be enough. And then when the engineering and project actually finished in June, it ended up at about $52,000. So that's the one line that went over.
We didn't add the engineering.
Right, when we're thinking about the projection. And that happens, as we heard from the auditors, that's pretty common for that to happen.
You're getting money back now for it.
So overall, if we take out the interfund transfers, the interfund transfers as far as expenditures or outflows from every fund are a substantial number. So we don't want to consider that necessarily. It's not a true expenditure of the day. You're moving funds from one fund to another. If we don't consider those transfers, overall the city was about $443,000 under budget on expenditures citywide.
Wow.
Yes. Very nice. So again, on the back is your more detailed information about expenditures by fund and by category. And noting that your budget figures are after that budget adjustment resolution we did back in June to move some money around to different categories. Any questions on that side? Rick, anything to add?
No, I mean, I guess, number one, I always like to see that, you know, we took in 103% of our revenue, so it's, because, you know, it's hard when you're guessing, like Roy said, 15 months out.
Right.
I mean, and you got all these different sources from, you know, franchise fees, from gas to power to garbage, the list is endless. Talking liquor money, cigarette money, I mean, you don't control any of that. You're guessing ahead based on how much are people going to smoke and drink and how many people are going to stay in motels, and you know. So it is very tough, and I like it. You know, that's, if it was 150%, you'd go, why were you off that far unless something weird happened? But 103%, it could have been 97%. But that's, see, the other side, the expense side, is always going to be, definitely you want it under 100%. But two, it's like projects that move forward that you think you're going to spend. So when we budget,
right,
we're going to spend, like say, the sidewalk project out in front of the senior center, we really haven't spent any money in that year, because but when I put it, you put the budget together way ahead, you're saying we're going to spend $100,000 on this. Well, we don't spend any of it. So those that see, when she says you're $443,000, don't start running to buy more tomorrow. And then the other thing is on expenses, we have to guess, are we going to have 20 grand? I always put 20 grand for snow pile. Well, we only spent 5 or 6. But we don't know what the winter brings when it's not winter. But you better have 20 grand in there. That's it. It's the same with grading and graveling, or especially with expenses. Are we going to have pumps going out? You know, you got to have 50 grand in the water fund for stuff you don't know. Well, nothing happened. So you didn't spend. So that, I don't, like I say, it's, I, the public, somebody would think, well, what do you, you got $400,000 sitting there. But it carries forward. So that extra carries forward, and then we'll see what I told, asked Summer Day, give me an estimate of how well we budget, because we guessed in our budget for this year, we just got in July, we guessed how much was carrying forward. And so it's nice to know where we start, because if we're off on that, then we might have to cut down spending. Maybe we were going to buy a speed trailer, you know, we budgeted for that, for a radar trailer. If for some reason that street fund is going to be over expended, you say, well, we're not going to be able to buy it. We'll have to save that money that we budgeted. So I want to know how we did in the carryover.
Yeah.
And we don't know that yet, because we're just now finishing up the books. But these are good, good reports.
These are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Helpful. Format is readable.
Oh, yeah.
Got the information on
it. Nice. Okay. It's simple.
So much simpler than the old ones.
Okay.
The ones we didn't get?
The ones we didn't get.
Okay, so. Are you satisfied with this, Ben?
Yep, that's everything I had.
Okay, thank you very much. Item number 10 is cost of living wage adjustments. Rick?
Yeah. When we put the budget together, we figured in some cost of living, and I included, you've got there from the feds, it's the West region of a 2.3% cost of living. And you know, you heard one of the items in the audit was, you know, raises have been given in the past, and we, some of you know this, and we went back, and there were never any raises voted in here. There's really no documentation on it. So, you know, those are some of the things we want to change. And in fact, I don't know, well, last year there was no cost of living raise given. And I don't know if there was the year I was gone. No, and you know, our staff doubled in size when the districts came. So I really have no history on that. But we thought it was definitely time. We want to move, I want to get a step scale. That's all the things we need to work, a little more of a formal scale. And, you know, we have job descriptions for people and they move along through it. We need to give a cost of living raise for our folks in probably 2 or 3 years, I think, and they could tell me more than that. Maybe if you had one since you've been here, I don't know, but maybe you have. No. So, so you've got a sheet that will show you the differences. You know, it's 30, depending on the person's wage, 30, 40 cents an hour. Could be 50 cents if you're up the pay scale like Scott. Yeah. You know, Johnny Bales, 39 cents an hour. Michael, our new guy's 35 cents an hour. So that kind of gives you an idea. And we did budget in 2%. And this is 2.3, but that difference is, you know, it won't have a big enough an impact in there, we'll be fine. Because we're saving, and I didn't include myself or anything, so I'm not doing a cost of living increase. I don't want one, I don't need one. So I did, but we don't spend, you know, in our budget, we have finance people and full-time city managers that are here, you're on PERS and all that, you're not PERS, retirement, and, which I'm not doing, so that fund is underspent anyway. So, I mean, this difference is a 0.3 of 1%. So anyway, that would be the recommendation that we'd make it effective July 1. We wanted to get it done before it gets out 2 or 3 months because you have to go back. So I think that's, you know, well worth it for our staff.
Okay, council, any pre-discussion?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
And this isn't at all connected with the increases after reviews. This is just
this is cost of living.
Yep.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the cost of living raise for our
effective
staff?
July 1.
Effective 1 July.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion's approved unanimously. Thank you, Council. I suspect others will thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Item 11 is a new job description for the accounting clerk, and I know you've worked on this, so.
Yes, Summer, we took the one that we kind of had current position that Ashley fills. She's currently kind of in the position we're talking about. We're creating a new job description, and Summer went to some of the cities she's worked with and kind of took our format and co-mingled it in, and this is what came up with. And Summer's been saying to me, and I very well know, and I think all of you do, that, you know, the function, that position that Ashley's been filling is much different than a billing, utility billing specialist, you know, all these specialists and all these titles. But that's what you were, right?
Yes.
That's what you are. And, but she's doing accounts. That would be someone that's kind of taking in the, you know, utility bills and those things. But we've got her doing accounts payable and all kinds of things like that. So it's really more getting into kind of the accounting finance side with the utility side. So we need to create a job description, and then she would fill that. The other position basically would go away. We're not adding any help. And with that would obviously come a wage adjustment, and I'm working on that. But I kind of told you a range, you know, of, I figure it's $1 to $1 an hour. And for that, that's a position. If you know, in other words, and if Ashley left, we just went out and were to advertise for a utility billing specialist, well, we would have a problem, because that's not what she does. Summer, what do you have to say?
Well, that's exactly right. I've been asking myself that question in the last several months of, okay, you're a utility clerk, really? Because Ashley's been a huge support in everything that I've been doing here as well, as far as reconciliations and closing out month-end balances and processing accounts payable and facilitating the payroll process. And she really is already functioning as your accounting clerk. So it is appropriate to take a look at what she's doing right now. It's outside of her current job description, and you have a decision. You can either ask her to stay within her current description, job description, and figure out what to do with the gaps, or, as we're recommending, formalize the job that she's doing now and pay appropriate rate for that.
Is there a, you know, with a new job description, will there be evaluations down the road?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have, I need to do evaluations. We were obviously, now that urban renewal gets a rest, and, you know, once we have a finance manager and a planner, you know, but yeah, we will do that. And then we've got to get a, and then they'll take the job descriptions to build kind of salary schedules. And that's the first thing that Vance Jacobson or someone that does that kind of thing, they'll compare cities our size, they want job descriptions. Well, if we give them the job description on Ashley, it was outdated, so they can't really do that.
Right.
Then they're going to interview her and ask her what she does, and they're going to say, well, that doesn't match. So this has really been quite a few months coming, but we wanted to make sure she was really going to do it. And, you know, wanted to make sure she was going to hang in there. And
hang in or survive?
Survive. And she's done that. She's, you know, right on top of the stuff and answers the questions that I have and email. And so, yeah. So anyway, we'd like to adopt this as a job description that we have then. And then I'll come back, actually, with her assuming that in a wage. I want to do a little more check on that. And I want to have that ready for September or October. What did I say? October 1st. Just wait.
You said September 1st.
September 1st. Oh, how did you know?
I'm sure she's going to hold you.
I read it.
Yeah. September 1st. Oh,
I don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's somewhere in that dollar or two range. But then we'll formally put that in a file. Because one of the things that the auditor says, you would go in and someone was making $15 an hour, and then if suddenly they're making 16 or 17, and it's never come here, nor has it come and been signed off by a city manager and put in that they authorized a raise. It's just like, it just happened.
And it's happened before.
Yeah, and so those are the things that we're going to definitely change. And you know, I'm very trained. I want you to know we're going to sit here and talk about raises, you know, and you're going to be knowledgeable of them. And whether or not you have to approve
right.
every raise, which you don't, but you're going to know about it. And then if you have a problem, you can say, whoa, you know, I want you to approve the job descriptions because it's kind of creating that job here.
Yeah, that's almost a policy level, structure level.
But then if we end up saying it's 22 cents an hour or $1.22, I'll work on that and I'll do it. I'll send you a message and then you'll know what it's going to be.
Okay.
And then, but we'll have a form that goes in the file that says on this day she was raised to X and because of the new job duties and this is the rate.
I think this is a good example of administrative process that any organization needs to have in place, and I'm thrilled to see it. I think this is a great move for us.
Ashley might not want this job, so we'll have to run ahead.
I did tell her that today. You know, you have the option.
Any council, any comments or anything?
I assume it's probably long overdue for the job.
Can't you speak Spanish?
I saw that. I actually know Spanish.
Preferred.
Yes. Preferred.
You know,
even when you're done with the accounting degree,
maybe I'll jump into some Spanish.
I don't know. We've got two Spanish families in town. But I would make a comment at this point. I know that when sewer and water came over, or I was in a meeting one time when they hadn't come over, that they approved a Spanish, the...
I was there for them.
Yeah, and they bought an expensive package, and it's probably in the boxes somewhere.
I know where it is. If you really want me to learn Spanish, I have to
learn. Or something.
Yep.
But, you know, that's just... So, anyway. Without further ado, is there a motion to approve the establishment of a new job description for a county clerk?
I so moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved unanimously. So we need a new job placard now, right?
No. So Patty ordered at 2:00 saying,
did she?
Did she jump the gun a little? Like, maybe I don't want the job.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad it's in place. Award of asphalt maintenance contract, item number 12. You have that in your...
You got two bids there, I'll let Scott take it. Just on top of that, I got Mike Shields gonna go out and gravel the back part of the lot because it goes back further now, so I wanna get gravel on it while it's clear and freshen up the gravel part so it's all level and looks good. Because that wasn't part of our job out here, and then he'll add a couple dump truck loads kind of toward the back and make it all nice. This is about our current parking lot, which has cracks and everything. We need to seal and crack. So Scott, can we do
the crack? Yeah. You know, an asphalt, it's an investment. It needs painted just like your house does. It looks a little bit shabby. So I actually contacted three companies. One was non-responsive, and I didn't get the email chain in here on time. But we got two proposals to crack seal, seal coat, and restripe our parking lot out here. It also kind of coincides with the rest of the work that we've done. Have everything new kind of looking at the same time for City Hall.
I've got a question, if I can be first. In the two bids, I read that on the Central Oregon asphalt, they say they will seal cracks in excess of a quarter inch. And in the Seven Peaks, they say they will crack seal without reference to size. Does that mean they're going to, because there is a process where they seal the crack with a heavier liquid and then they come over it with a paving seal or a seal coat.
Yeah, and I think the same crack seal type product, I don't know if it's the same product each company uses, will be applied on the cracks. They do have a note from the Central Oregon one that if the cracks are larger, they'll kind of sink out.
Yes.
Smaller, they're not going to fill them if they're smaller at a quarter inch.
Yeah. I guess it does say that. Yeah.
What you could do is approve Seven Peaks and you can get clarification just to if there's some issue there.
I just, yeah. One says they will, one...
I know when they get very white, as Don knows from his subdivision, once you know, once they get very white, they sink, they do yeah. sink down, yeah. And I don't know that they're, that's tough to stop.
Yeah, the county, you know, on road work, they do a lot of crack sealing, and they had kind of an experimental machine that they did use in Crescent Creek Canal and Huntington. Actually put an aggregate in with the crack seal material.
Yes.
So you notice that.
Did that work? Mm-hmm.
They filled the wider cracks first with some sort of material, then they came back and sealed
yeah.
over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have a lot. Our gaps aren't no. the size of...
No. I think I'm speaking strictly to the idea that they don't have a provision in here to seal the smaller cracks than a quarter inch.
Oh, and well, most cracks are smaller than a quarter.
I think
well, I think they ought to be filling all of the cracks.
They just cover it all.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying here.
Well, in seven peaks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the other company is not going to seal something smaller than a quarter inch is what they're saying. So I know where I stand.
So yeah, based on, I mean, they're both a local company, essentially, and they both do a lot of work in the mine.
Do they both have city business licenses?
Well, they will.
I would ask the motion
neither
to
have city business
include that as a provision. But council, any
comments? Yeah, it just seems like common sense here.
Okay.
No, yeah. I guess for me, I was able to read the Central Oregon just because they broke it out and they put it all out. Because I didn't really understand the whole process. So I guess I don't know which one. I'll leave it to somebody else who deals with this more to try to help.
Well, Scott, which one do you recommend?
I would recommend Seven Peaks Paving based on the price. Central Oregon Asphalt does provide a little bit more detailed bid, but I think at the end of the day, the work they do is very similar.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, is there a motion to approve Seven Peaks as the pavers? Or the Lapine City Hall restriping and resealing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved unanimously. For Seven Peaks, maybe? Item number 13 is Cago Glenwood Acres Septic and Water System Technical Assistance Grant Application.
Good evening, council members, Mr. Mayor. All of you are aware to some degree of the issue in South Deschutes County around old septic systems. And the part that matters here tonight for the city of Lapine are the Cagle and Glenwood Acres areas at the north end of town. Rick and I met with Melissa Murphy, who works with the Infrastructure Finance Authority through Business Oregon, last week, and it was brought to our attention that there are grants available under their water and wastewater financing program that would allow us to update our plans if we were to expand water and wastewater into those two areas of the city. So, basically, what would happen is there'd be two grants up to $20,000, and the city would do a 10% match on $18,000 for a total of $19,800. And like I said earlier, these are technical assistance grants that are specifically, this is just a first step, it's only about planning. This is a 2006 wastewater system capital facilities plan. Almost 10 years old, it has a dated and preliminary estimate of what it would take to expand the wastewater system. That needs to be updated, and grant would work to do that. And then also the water system capital facilities plan from 2009 is also outdated. It could be brought up to current levels, and this grant, these two grants, two separate grants, would help to do that. Rick, do you have anything to add? Any questions?
I hate redoing. Engineers love it. Once you study what it's going to take, there isn't one new lot, because it doesn't matter if a new house was built. Remember, they survey every lot. If there's 400 lots, there's 400 lots. You just assume there'll be a house. So we're not taking in 1 acre of ground. It's amazing. If you're going in to get the big money, when you're talking millions of dollars, and you're using 8-9 year old stuff, they say, well, but you don't know that those costs are true today. Pipes costs have gone up, labor dropped, but now maybe it's headed back up. And just like the different engineer says, hey, we can do this differently, and we don't need that plan calls for the $1 million pipe. So to be competitive, and we really do need to know. And the first question, several of you live in that area, is, how much is it going to cost? Well, we don't know that till we know what the project's going to cost. So, and we can get 90% of this, we think, from the state. Jerry was there too. He came down because we were talking about other stuff, and she came from Salem, and this is all part of our solutions team meeting, right, that we had, where the whole team was here. They took that, they said, hey, we want to come talk to you. So Corey, I turned it over to him, and he did the applications and everything. And I think it's one of those grants that you kind of get. So, they have that money to buy. And it's probably a six to, I think this is our first step. So it's really, when you're doing this, we're not saying we're moving ahead on a sewer system or water system in the Cable Glenwood area, but just this is the information. But every step you take, that's where we're headed, but you have to do this. So I would say it'll be 6 to 8 months, 9 months or something. They'll be back. We'll know what it's going to cost. And in this, I'd like to get some modeling on, some people. We know some. And then FCS Group, which is working on a rate study, could be we have them take this, because I don't know how far they're going to be able to get into it. They may have to wait, and we'll give them this information 9 months from now. Then they can figure out what the rates need to do to service. But then we'll go to the one-stop shop grant loan stuff. That would be the next phase, find out, how much in loans and grants we could get. That will dictate pricing. Because if you get half grants, then that lowers, obviously. And in the meantime, I think when we get these updates back, we want to have a kind of a town hall or two, one out at the school out there, one here, have a couple outreaches, and just say, this is just saying what the systems would cost in a total, not that you're going to pay $38 or $32, because we won't know that yet, but we want to keep the public informed, the Newberry Eagle informed. But this is the first formal step. So
yeah, so city management would ask city council's approval to move forward with these grant applications, two grant applications, one for updating the plans for an expansion of the city's water, and another one for the expansion of the city's wastewater system.
Okay. Council, any questions of staff? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the city staff moving forward on the two grant applications to IFA for redoing of our water and sewer plant.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Move forward. Item 14 is the First Street Signalization Project Professional Services Agreement.
Okay. Eric Huffman is here. He's come to a couple meetings, and Scott already had him in a meeting on our behalf, so Scott says, I didn't know we hadn't hired him yet. But, that's just a detail. It's become apparent, and I think you guys are realizing this, just with everything from the finance to you name it, you're talking a 2.5
million-dollar project out there and all the different issues when we're meeting, and I get this big, thick book with engineering stuff on it. You know, and I am not an engineer. Not going to be one. And, you know, that's dangerous when you start getting into it. And you know, they say, well, you need to move this utility at your cost. Well, that's 100 grand. You know, we'll do this and they'll do that. And just all the details of this, you really have to have someone representing you. So most cities have someone on a project. It's their engineer of record or someone they've hired who's looking out for us. Because ODOT's looking out for them and their project. So when we got into the sidewalk width issue, where it shrunk again 8 feet, you know, this is the moving sidewalk, and then we start talking about this, when they had said to us at the meeting here that, you know, they were concerned that we couldn't maintain it and they were plotting the Terrebonne gravel bioswales, which is a bioswale that's 15 feet wide, 4 feet deep with 3/4 minus gravel. And I said, oh, well, now, that's not going to happen. And so that became apparent to me that we have to have someone that's bird dogging it at those meetings that talks the talk and speaks the speak. Eric, you've met here, he's the engineer of record working with Sisters, and of course they just did a several million dollar sidewalk project, and I was through it last night, and you know, they got the lights up, it's really looking good, the trees. So, you know, I think this is a good fit for him. And so it's an hourly contract not to exceed $10,000, I think something like that. And because we don't know, see, you know, is it, because then once they get to doing the project, you know, and so he's estimating, you know, this is going to be a $5,000 to $10,000 price tag over the period, probably, I'm assuming, over the next year then. And why don't you tell him what you propose to do for us? Come on up.
Come on up.
All right. Sure.
You can push the red button if you need to.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So my role would be to work with ODOT to make sure that the city's getting the best value out of everything that comes out of that project. Already been looking at some water. There's some the placement of streetlight poles, the placement of stormwater culverts. If those conflict with water facilities that the city has, that could be significant expense to the city to relocate those things. So working with ODOT to make sure that they're keeping the city's best interest in mind as well. And then also incorporating those things like landscaping and talking about streetlights and some of those other improvements that the city would like to see in the project that want to make sure ODOT includes.
Now, I think we have to do this, and ultimately on all these larger projects, just this will become the norm. Now, I'd like to get to where we have two or three folks, and I've talked to Jeremy about kind of having some pre-approved people. Professional services contracts, you know, we have more freedom in to hire folks. Actually, go up to like $150,000. You know, so right now we're kind of using two or three different folks, which is not bad. You know, we got people that have done some things and people have their areas of expertise. And I think that the work he's doing in Sisters fits this type of a project. Mm-hmm. And he did go to a meeting with you in last week.
Yeah.
In Bend. You were there and you noticed some things. And today I just forwarded you while you were sitting here. I sent it from here. And it's, you know, it's got a whole timeline. They're going to go to bid in October for the main part. And Gary Farnsworth called me yesterday, who's the regional district manager, to tell me that the 8-foot sidewalks are, in fact, back. And it's going to cost them an extra $200,000. They will increase their ponds kind of in front of Taco Bell on the highway where they have lots of land. So that requires more of it'll have a pipe system with, you know, great. So the bioswales will hold some of the water, then the excess will go through a pipe, and so now they will have to put in pipes and expand things. But the sidewalks are back to 8 feet, and they wanted to. He actually said when he wanted my permission to let him go ahead and get this thing bid. They're going to sleeve everything. It's going to be costing $30,000 about. They're going to sleeve everything for water and electrical lines.
Good.
Because you want to do that when you're bidding the project. Then, once it's out being bid, we want to start working on the landscaping piece. And they're going to help find some maybe some funds for the landscaping. And if the bids come in less than they estimate, so they've got some, because, you know, they again, they're estimating the cost of, you know, $2 million job, it could be 1.8. They got a couple hundred thousand dollars. They might be able to move some toward landscaping.
Yes.
So he said if you just don't, if you, otherwise, if we try to go at it in the project now, we're not far enough down the road of knowing what all we want out there and everything. And they want, they don't want to delay the project.
We don't either.
No. And I told him that. So I said, if we can add the landscaping later, we can do it as an add-on to the, whoever gets the bid and things. So that's kind of the way we're looking at it. But I think he really said, would you guys go along with this? And I said, I think that the council would be great. We can do it. We're going to have Eric. And I told him, Eric's just started with us, so now he'll start attending meetings representing us. And that we have to have as we move forward on light posts, all of that.
Quick, did I hear you say that, you know, I came through Terrebonne the other day, and they've got gravel where, like, Madras has got, actually, Madras has got grass in some place, a couple of places. They've got grass, and then right in the very bottom, they've got a small piece of gravel, or big rock, you know. But you go through Terrebonne, and it's all gravel, and that's not...
Yeah, that's the low-maintenance swale.
And I did hear you say that that wasn't going to
fit.
Oh, no. No.
Okay. Oh, no. There's okay. Going to be a low maintenance.
Thank you.
But we have to, in order to see, they I think it's funny because he said, and Mike Darling, when he was here, he kind of said, well, are you guys, just kind of like, are you guys prepared to take care of landscaping? And he says, well, it wasn't going well in Crescent and Chemault. And I said, well, first of all, not incorporated cities. That's a little bit like having what Mrs. Stevens doing it. Who in those towns? I mean, it's just a volunteer group. They don't have a local government.
They didn't have one anymore.
No. Well, they don't have a city. Yeah, who would do it?
Yeah. Who would do it?
And I said, so what ODOT requires us, we're going to have to sign an agreement with ODOT that says the city will maintain it and so on and so forth. And he said that takes time, and I'm sure that everybody is used to those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he asked us. Farnsworth asked, so I think this is good time. So if you guys are authorized hiring of, you got the name of the firm. He actually has a name, but I don't ever remember it because he doesn't use it. Beacon LLC, Civil Engineering and Land Surveying, to be our kind of manage the First Street Signal project. The Beacon, there he is. Yeah.
I'm not sure where he is.
That's right.
Okay. Council, discussion, comment.
Well, you know you're growing up when you have to hire a babysitter to keep an eye on this. Oh, God.
Yeah, but
so it's exciting.
It, for the babysitter or
for both?
For both. Okay. Then I will entertain a motion by council to approve Beacon to provide us the professional service agreement for the First Street Signalization Project.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect it was approved unanimously. And we are at other matters, which we don't have.
Well, I got or one. Have. Corey, do you have the Ford truck thing?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to? Yeah, pass it out. Just these sheets.
Yeah, that all they need is a sheet.
The other sheets were for Scott.
I'll give him to Matt Coors and you.
This is a Ford.
Uh-oh. You have to share.
Take that one.
Oh, here comes another one.
I need one.
There's lots. Sorry, we underestimated.
We're good.
I can
one more.
Here, there. I know.
There you go.
Okay, now we're at it.
Okay. You know, we've been kind of talking about it for a year. We budgeted $60,000 for trucks for the public works. The vehicles they have are hardly vehicles. They are what year? Well, one doesn't run, but what, forget that one.
86, 89, and 95.
So they have, you know, 150 to 250,000 miles, and we don't have there's not a service, there's not a box to where, so everything just rolls around the back of pickups. If you go out on a job, I mean, it just, you know, it doesn't function. And so we started out looking for used, and we put out, Scott gave me some specs that we put out for, you know, between X amount of miles, you know, 5 to 7 or 8 years old. We wanted them white, and, you know, we wanted F-150 or an F-250, or in the case of a Chevy, I mean, they're all 150, 250s, 2500s, 1500s, every company has their own. I call TS&S Ford, Robertson Ford, Gruner Chevrolet, Ithaca Ford, and got the Bruner did not respond, but we got a $32,000 price for a 10,000 mile pickup at Robertson, so it was used but not much, but it was a 350, bigger than we need. TS&S Ford said, we just don't, you know, if you want over 100,000 miles, we can get you some, but low mileage pickups, or they're black with chrome wheels. Well, that isn't going to go over. So you'd never explain to people that you didn't go out and put chrome wheels on. It just couldn't be done. There was a great black one I was looking at there that was 26,000 or something when I stopped there a couple days ago, and I thought, well, this would be a great truck. But then I said, you know what, the public would just have a fit. So there's parameters that we have to deal with that, you know, private business doesn't have to. So then start saying, well, what is a fleet price? I mean, new. Because it really, we get discounts. And lo and behold, we started getting, well, you can get one for 25 grand new. And I'm like, well, why am I buying $30,000 used ones and everything else? And so we sent out the requests, and so you'll see there. And they're all pretty close. $25,000 for an F-150, but Ithaca Ford in Klamath Falls was $24,200. So that was cheaper on the F-150, and then the F-250 is actually only $600-$700 more, $24,900, and there's a little more of a savings. You see TS&S was almost $30,000. So these are four trucks, 8-foot boxes, 4x4s, crew cab, and there's extended cab, I should say, not a four-door, the extended cab of the half, and that's just they can put junk in it. White. These would be new. We'll order them. There's no carpeting in them. Some of the ones you could use them, of course, have carpet. They have XLT packages. That's just what they have. And the fleet people don't turn them in unless they've used them. I mean, you know, fleet people keep them for a lot of years. So we budgeted $60,000. This would be under $50,000. And what I'd like to do, it takes about 6 weeks, 2 months to get them. We'll put our logos on them. We're going to have them taken in and have, you know, flashing lights that you can see when you pull over on the side of a road. You know, now they're doing public work stuff, you know, it's where they didn't before. They put a plow on the front of the 250. We're going to get a box. They sent the staff out there, met, and they've got some boxes that we will put up there. You have drawers you can open, and you'll have a service truck. You will go out and have the parts with you and not be running back to the office and everything. Now, the only way they get this, and they've already started on it, is to get rid of what?
Bunch of junk.
Every pound of new metal coming in, we must have an equal or more metal leaving.
10 pounds, yeah.
Because they've got lots of stuff.
Yes, they do.
And he's already talked to Schnitzer Steel, so we're going to start piling up the stuff. And that stuff will leave. And then we may have to come back and surplus a couple of the pickups. And I'm not sure that they may have to just go to Schnitzer and scrap. But we'll see. We'll check into all that and work with Jeremy then, because we've never had any access to things like that. But they've got just stuff that's just metal. And we'll get rid of it. So I'd like authorization for us to move forward purchasing it. I checked with Jeremy on it as far as, you know, we put out for prices and got it, and so we're good that way. And we'd like to move forward. I don't know what kind of agreement the board Ithaca is going to have, but we'll have some paperwork we'll sign out. So it'll probably be 3 months, 2 to 3 months before we get them and before we pay for them. But
okay,
I think it's time we do that.
I do too. I get tired of explaining. What's that white truck doing down at the end? Oh, that's the city. The city? So it's time.
Yeah. Well, these will last for, these will be around for a decade.
And it gives us an opportunity to keep a nice looking fleet if they start new.
Yeah.
So.
Well, a couple guarantees. Warranties to 70,000 miles, all that kind of stuff. So.
They come in stock size.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know which. Well, I'm not sure which one. They'll trade them around depending if they're using service work. But you think? What do you think? Should you get them?
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Okay. Council.
That's good.
So moved.
Sounds good.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That's it.
Opposed. It's approved and to move forward.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so we are now at public comments. Oh, Rolando. Public comments?
Oh, yes, I only had one comment on the Centennial Park. I've been maintaining the stone since we built that sign there. And whatever direction you guys decide to go on maintaining the park, I would like to continue to maintain the stonework on that. I did the stonework on that sign. I will repair and fix anything that happens to the stone. And I will also maintain it every year and sealing it because of the climate that we have here in this area.
Thanks.
So I'd like to be part of that and continue doing that.
Thank you. Great. Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll go to staff comments.
No, we've got other the attorney arrives, so we'll be working on that here in a while, so I think I'll just wait.
Okay, good. Then council comments?
I just wanted to say I went through Sisters, and it looks so nice, and I particularly love those lights, the way they've been fashioned, and that lantern type.
That's kind of
thing. It's really looks great. Great job. Yeah.
Thanks.
I think you think about urban renewal, and somewhere down the road you wake up one morning and be saying the same thing about La Punta.
Let's hope so.
Well, today I had some good comments from some folks, you know, on this out here. We were out, you saw a little map, you might have got a map on the lights. So we went and walked, we added a couple more lights out on the Huntington project because we wanted to do it upright. And so the owners, the manager of the lodge.
Little Shoots Lodge
came out. And we were out there, and Vic Russell was there, and we walked it again. Corey and I went out with Mid-State Monday and walked the whole thing, ran down through Crescent Creek, and we're going to put two street lights at each entrance to Crescent Creek that will light up the intersections because it's dark at night, long cold winters, and you know, people are going to be able to see come in, but we had to go over these are the wooden poles there, they'll be up high, and get out 12 feet and shine and light up. It'll make it much safer for folks to come and go into Crescent Creek. Then we put a couple more between off the wooden poles that will go between there and the senior center. Then at the senior, between the senior center and the lodge, Little Deschutes, it then switches to the decorative pole. And we're putting one right in the middle of the property line there, and that's where you go from asphalt to concrete as we go to more of an urban scape. And then there'll be one at the corner by the senior center, and then there'll be one down on the side where Body Mart and that lot go. And then we're going to put one at the new crossing that the city put in a year and a half ago in front of Body Mart. So that will become grass. We talked about that. So that area will become grass. It'll look good. We'll actually start our streetscape out there. And so Mid-State was giving us our prices. It's about, after the discount, about $3,000 $3,000 to $4,000 a light. It's just always think, I just start figuring $5,000 when you actually figure it all. When you, unless you're going off an existing pole, which gets them down to $1,800. So if you just take a wooden pole out here, you know, it's much different. But when you have to go pour the concrete, run conduit up into it, and get a decorative pole, those ones at Sisters were probably well more than this, would be my guess. But this is really going to be nice. So when you come in, you talk about slowing traffic, people are going to come in now, hit those street lights at Crescent Creek, they see something. Right now it's pitch dark. And then that's going to automatically slow you down as you work your way into town. And then when you switch the lights, I think you get a bit of mental that I'm entering town.
You know, I still see people constantly not reducing their speed until they get to the animal hospital.
Yeah.
And I really would like to see us move that pole at the animal hospital back 100 yards, right on the curve. Because people, my belief is that people see that. They've seen it for years on years on years, so.
Well, that'll be another project.
Okay.
That's an ODOT thing, we can't move it. Speed signs, which you just approved tonight, that's all. ODOT approves all speed signs.
You just hand out a few tickets.
So, I think so. Yeah. No, you're
well,
right.
But the light's gonna be at Crescent Creek, which is on the corner. Right. And so once you have lights, it slows people down. It's a human nature. That's why ODOT's putting regular lights that way of the intersection. Is assuming when you're out in the darkness, when you come right now, come on, you do it tonight. If you drive from Burgess this way, it's pitch black. And there is no reason to slow down. You can put a 35 sign out there. People don't just go to 35. There isn't a driveway. There's no light, there's no curb slowing you down, there's nothing to slow you down, the road's wide, I'm going to drive 55. You can have a cop there 24/7. So that's what streetscapes and things do, and lights are a big part of that. That's how we'll slow people down, and it doesn't require a cop. If your goal is to slow people down, do treatments that will slow people down. And that works, and you're going to find it. I mean, anyone will tell you it works.
So, but those aren't going in before the lights go in on Morrison.
Yeah, the other part of this project, Rob, they're doing.
I'm tired of Huntington Meadows or Crescent Creek getting all the, no. Some are going in by the Prairie House and down by the Park and Rec building.
Well, there aren't right now.
Well, they better go in before they go up there.
Well, but they're doing the project. They're building our sidewalks and pouring concrete tomorrow. It's part of the project that we've already approved.
Okay, but so the next group is going to go there.
Right.
It's been talked about, and I'm tired of all these other subdivisions getting that. We need some right down here where the kids are going to school.
Well, we just put 5 in front of the schools. The kids go there.
Well, I know.
I mean, those have been on 4 months.
And who's down there right now? No one.
Well, yeah. I mean, the school's out, but.
I just wanted on the record that we approve those and they need to go in as soon as we can.
Yes, that's okay. If you guys
have we approved lights on Morrison or we just
budgeted. It's like all these, you know, we the budget just took effect 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we finishing this, we're doing that, and we have the first street project, which, you know, we just hired an engineer tonight. These things we'll have to get someone over there to figure it out. If there aren't poles, you know, and if you're going to put it, you have to spend the time to think through where they go, what kind they are, how many, and then you've got, you know, just what we're doing on these other projects. You know.
And it was done that way. When we sat down here with the Public Works Committee and we reprioritized some streetlights, and some of them were to go over there.
They have lots of lights on their list.
Well, Pastor Ward, I believe you were involved with that.
We did that, but it's been a long time ago.
Okay.
Everything that the Public Works Committee sent to you, where we felt the light should go, you changed it all around.
Right.
Which is you're still getting done, but we sent you a format of where we felt the lights should start. And you moved them around, which is okay, that's your problem.
Right, but it was done.
It was done, yes.
Thank you.
Well, I remember
that we discussed Morrison, but I mean, because I've got an issue with the rest center there, the senior center that's there.
Prairie House.
The Prairie House.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know, but I know we discussed it, but I never thought we got. I don't have a recollection that we got to a point saying we're going to put three stop the streetlights there.
Was it because the sidewalks or something? Yeah, there was another issue.
I know we talked about it being an important issue, but I can't remember that we said that was going to happen.
Okay. As long as they're on the map.
They're on the map.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, no, we know we talked about it. I mean, we just are finishing up. Yeah, I think that we put it. I mean, it came up in the budget. We talked about putting them over there. You made the same statements there. And
right, and I'll keep making it until they're there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can stop these other ones if that's what you're saying. It's if the council says don't put them. I mean, we can divert the ones out here. They're not up yet. I mean, it all goes in a system. What we're trying to do is you're building sidewalks and curbs and swales, and you know, and so you have to go in a system, and you can't just. I mean, so we approved the sidewalk project on Huntington. We hired engineers 8 months ago, a year ago, and with that is when you put in the lights. So I mean, that's why these are ahead of it. I mean, and that project was ahead of it.
So, I know of no council decisions that change the methodical process that we're in right now. All the stuff that we're going, I know it's been identified that that's an important area, and I do, Stu, remember your comments, and I'm there too about, you know, let's get to that. But I can't see how we can change our methodical approach to what we've got going on right now.
Well, what I get from this is that the next one, and that's what Stu's saying, the next one that we start working on, which is why it's the only one that's budgeted. I got another for $25,000, but we'll have to, you know, engineer, because you do have to look in.
Right.
Do you need a sidewalk with parts of it if you're going to do that? And are I don't, to be honest, without being over there, I don't know if there's power poles. If there's not, you have to figure, like I just said, about five grand a light. So, you know, if you put up four of them, that's 20 grand. And in engineering, you can throw another five on, and so you're going to spend $25,000. So that's all fine, but then you threw in somewhere else. You said down by the park and everything. Well, you know, then how many are down there? And we just have to do this systematically over time. And then there's the annual cost, $15 a month per light forever.
Rick, also you'll find, and I think Stu knows this too, that when you get down to that area, those curves, that whole intersection is going to have to be redone to get any lights in there.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have $100,000 or $200,000 to go down there at this point and do all of that. Now, so it could be if you just put up some lights.
Right.
You know, to light up. Are there wooden poles down there?
I don't think so.
Because then again, you can do those for $1,600 if there's wooden power poles.
There are some down by Books, Box, and BS.
Okay.
And further down by the Park and Rec building, and right in front of Prairie House.
So if there's some wooden poles there, you can do that. You know, even if they just stick up there for 2 or 3 years till you build sidewalks and things to light up some of those. I'll drive by there tonight, but any of you drive by and just start to look. If there's power poles there, it's a pretty simple process. Well, if it's not, then it's...
Just, I'll bring it up again at the next meeting, because that's what, I got to... Grease the wheel.
Yeah. Now, I thought you were going to want to light your skate park.
No, not yet. Because that's only temporary.
Yeah.
So there's no sense in doing that.
Good point. We'll work on that.
Okay.
Council comments?
Crosswalk.
And a crosswalk.
Yes, I say well, that because I have two ladies in, let's say, scooters that ride from Prairie House all the way to the senior center every lunchtime. Wow. And they do it in the street.
Well, we won't be able to change that. I mean, again, if you want to budget sidewalks over there to get them from Prairie House That's a big project.
Yeah.
Because to put in sidewalks, you have a curb. And when you have a curb, what's that do with water? It contains and channelizes water, which means you have to have bioswales or a way to get rid of water. Deschutes County spending $200,000, $240,000 just to do the one intersection. So, you know, is it $100,000 to take care of the water there? Now you're getting into a major engineering project if you're going to do curbs and sidewalks, and so it's a whole project. The council has the power to prioritize wherever. If you just want some streetlights, that's one discussion. If you want a full redo of an area, and now you're saying you want them to the senior center, that's probably beyond our capacity.
Basically, I was saying a crosswalk.
Well, but a crosswalk, you said they're riding those scooters to the senior center.
Well, they are.
The crosswalk, that's just one crossing right there. They're still going to have to ride their scooter down the road.
Well, there's basically sidewalks. I mean,
I have to get out to Huntington.
When they get out to Huntington,
right,
and out to the bank. So, but they, the big complaint, and I get it at the vet's breakfast when I go over to Prairie House, is that there is no striped crosswalk to slow the car.
Didn't someone say before I got here you worked with the county on that?
Yes, and the comment from the county was that we can't put it there because it goes from a curb over to a non-curb. Well, that's not true, because you go down to Morrison and First Street, and they've got a big crosswalk there that goes from the school side over to the park and rec, and it's just dirt. They did it there, but for some reason...
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, you can't do it at...
I wonder if that's because it's at a school crossing that they make an exception.
We'll look into
the whole... There might be a little, but I don't see why we couldn't get some white paint.
Well, see, it's a county road.
Right.
I mean, otherwise, I would just say,
vandals.
We just don't put it in.
Vandals did it.
And no one's the county road department doesn't drive down it once a year.
If that. So, council, further comments?
Yes.
Do?
Yes.
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 Go.
Right.
Speak up.
Okay, this is on a much lighter note. And
okay.
It's actually been a while since I've updated you on the Dream to Skate Park that's taking place down there at the Park and Rec building. And I don't know if you can see it, but today was the day that they laid the asphalt for the park. And this is what the kids have been working for about a year now, raising money. I can tell you that's what Seven Peaks Paving donated the gravel for the base. They donated, I believe, up to $2,000 of the asphalt and all the labor and time and materials for free.
Wow. Nice.
So they're going to be on the Christmas wish, or the Christmas thank you list. But the next step in the project is to bring the ramps over and bolt them down, and the goal is to have basically a ribbon cutting ceremony September 6th. Now that's all tentative on getting the ramps over there and getting them bolted down. But I just want to, you know, thank the council for approving some funding for this project. You know, they came to you one night and requested funds. Mm-hmm. And you know, that sign that says, you know, Lapine supports its youth, well, that, you know, the mayor said it several times, this is where we can show that we actually do. And you know, I can actually say, well, I've always said I'm proud to be on the council, but to say it in front of 17-year-old kids and actually 12-year-old kids that will be the next generation, you know, they look up to this council and to the city, and are very grateful. So next month they'll be here to give a report of the completed temporary park in person. So I just wanted to thank you personally for all the help you've given. So thank you.
Okay.
Any further, council? Then we'll slip into mayor's comments. And a question I have is from the mentor. of our student ad hoc counselor,
Mr. Parker.
Do you have an update for us?
Yeah, I do. I just got an email from him this afternoon.
Okay.
He was elected to continue his representation as the student representative to sit on the council. I did return a reply and mention that we will sit down at a future date and discuss attendance.
Good.
So,
okay.
We're gonna
and
have
he
that
probably took the summer off.
Oh, he's in, on his way to California right now for vacation. That's why he couldn't be here today.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to make a short presentation on the mayor's conference. The OMA held, the Oregon Mayor's Association held the conference in Pendleton this year, and it was a really a great conference. Just to give you an idea, it's pretty full paced. You don't get a lot of time to just go out and wander around. There's tours. They had an urban renewal. They have an urban renewal district, and we got a tour of the urban renewal district and a lot of the projects, and it's amazing. One of the facts I wanted to bring back with us, or back to you, was that of all of the land values associated with the money spent in the urban renewal district went up, the values went up 210% in value. And those properties that were outside of the urban renewal district went up 21%. So, I mean, they had a lot more numbers and statistics, but it's a very successful urban renewal program they have going. We will get to see the same thing. And they spoke to the issue about, in the beginning years, there wasn't a lot of money, but as things rolled along, they're starting to do things now. And we went to the places where they were doing that. So it was a great tour. Another one was a tour of the a very innovative sewer treatment plant, which handles mixed sewage, totally different from ours. But they generate power from their sewage, and they also generate a product that they sell to the farmers of the solids that's usable out in the fields. So it was pretty complicated, but it was really unique and I'll call that innovative. So other pieces are, there was 26 members of the Oregon State Directories, ODOT, all of the big directories are there, LCDC, DCLD, DLCD, excuse me, was there, and or senior staff. So they break out into these discussion groups after they make a presentation of what these departments or directories are doing, and then they break out into these discussion groups, and you can sit down and talk to these directors, asking questions, sharing problems. It's a great opportunity to put forth problems and or successes you're having at a city level. It helps in that fashion, but it also helps them know a lot of the stuff that's going on at the city level, you know, in a direct contact with the mayors. There's a lot of concurrent sessions where they discuss things like this time they discussed the small drones and the areas that got approved, like the
Warm Springs.
Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and out at Pendleton area, there is an area approved also. So there was a great discussion around that for one session, and so you get to choose which sessions you want to go to. But there's a lot of information that's brought to the table, and this time there was 90 mayors there from throughout the state. And it's a great opportunity to talk to these mayors from small cities our own size and larger cities who have already done a lot of the things that we will be doing for the next many years to get ourselves positioned as cities. So I'll leave it at that, and unless anybody's got questions, I will ask for motion.
Well, you adjourn the regular meeting, we're going to go back into executive session because the attorney has arrived. We'll probably take a 5-minute break.
Right.
And we'll finish.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
All right.
We're adjourned. And we'll take a 5-minute break before we go back into executive session.
Yeah.
Step one.
Yeah.